The following is Kate Kiefer Lee's closing keynote, voice and tone, from UX Thursday Detroit. UX Thursday is brought to you by UIE and Vitamin T. For more information about future UX Thursday events, visit uxthursday.com. That's uxthursday.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kate, but you probably already know me as the last thing standing between you and free drinks. So, we're almost done. It's been a good day, and I'm so glad to be here with you all. Before we get started, I want you to take a second to think about all of the different types of content that you deal with every day. Whether you are a designer, an engineer, an analyst, a content strategist, anyone else who touches websites and works on products and websites, you probably have a lot of different kinds of communication come across your desk every day. And the same's true for me. I work at MailChimp. Aside from our app itself, we have a website and a blog and a knowledge base. We have guides and articles. We have research and reports. We have support and compliance content, email newsletters, social media. The list goes on. And it can be really overwhelming just to try to keep up with it all, much less to make it all sound like it came from the same place. And part of my job is to guard MailChimp's voice and personality, and make sure that everything we say is consistent and useful and friendly across all of those departments and across all of those different types of content. So I think a lot about our voice and the way we communicate with our customers. And I think a lot about tone of voice, too. Because while our voice pretty much stays the same from day to day, though it does adapt over time, and we'll talk about that later, our tone of voice has to change all the time, depending on the situation and depending on the people at the other end of our content. And the reason I think this stuff is so important for all of us in this room right now is because we have a lot of power as people who work on websites and products. And I say that because we get to use our words and visuals to make people do things. We use content to get them to our website in the first place. And then once they're there, we tell them to buy our product, or click this button, or give us money, or use our service, or give us more money. And it's fun to make people do things, but here's what we forget. Our content doesn't just make people do things. It makes people feel things. And that's a different kind of responsibility, because our users and our customers are human. They have their own thoughts and opinions. They have their own senses of humor and touchy subjects. They have their own value systems and perspectives and expectations of us. And they bring all of it to the table when they interact with our content, because they're people, just like us. And they deserve our thoughtfulness and our respect. And I think one of the best ways to show them that respect that they really deserve is by having an honest and consistent voice and adapting our tone with their feelings in mind. So, let's talk about feelings. We can't even get into tone of voice without talking about voice itself and finding your company's voice. I say find here and not create, because I think that in most cases, where there is a company, where there is a product, there is already a voice. Sometimes it's deep down buried under a big pile of corporate jargon and SEO garbage, and you have to find it, but it's there. And I say that because behind every company, you find people, sometimes just one person, someone who started that company for a reason, and someone with a perspective that is unique to that company. And that's what we're trying to get to when we're looking for our company's voice, because the best brand voices are true reflections of the people behind the company. I'm about to show you an email that came from one of the people behind the company where I work, MailChimp. It's a memo to the whole staff from our CEO, Ben. And just so you have context, he sent this email when we were moving office spaces just kind of across the parking lot, and we ended up with this big empty space. And so people started knocking on his door asking for stuff, like a gym and all of these different things in there, but we already had a gym. So he sent us this email. It says, "We already have a gym in the basement. If you complain to me that the weight equipment is old, shut up. Rocky Balboa trained with rocks and dead animals in a meat locker. Gravity is gravity, and heavy stuff weighs the same whether it's old or new." So, that went to the whole staff from our CEO, and I'm showing you this not to brag that I have a funny boss. I'm showing you this so you can see where our voice and our perspective and our playfulness comes from. It comes from the very people who started the company. Sure, it evolves over time. It already has, and it will some more. Sure, I take liberties with it all the time. But this is where it comes from. It's real. And some people don't like our voice. I'm the one who hears it when they don't. But that's okay, because love it or hate it, our voice is genuine, because this is where it begins, with our company's founder. So that's what we're trying to get to. When I was looking to late MailChimp's voice, I sat down with our company's CEO and some other people to ask them some questions. Now, depending on your situation, you might ask a founder or a CEO or some sort of stakeholder. If you have your own business, you ask yourself these questions. Things like, what does your company do? Why did you start your company in the first place? Why do people visit your website, and who are these people? What other companies do you admire? And maybe even, what companies don't you admire? If your brand were a person, how would you describe that person? Show me a few examples of content that suits your brand, and how about some content that doesn't suit your brand? And my favorite, how do you want people to feel when they visit your website? And I want to point out that when we're at this stage of the process, we're looking for emotional responses. We're not looking for technical answers. When we say, why did you start your company in the first place? And someone says, I started my company because I saw a need in the market for heated toilet seats. That's not the answer we're looking for. We're looking for what comes after that. The moment when somebody's eyes light up, the things that make them laugh, the things that they really, really seem to want to talk about. Because that's how you find someone's personality. And the other great thing about this step is that I would imagine for many of you, it's already a part of the process. We call them stakeholder interviews in the content strategy world, and a lot of people do them. So this is a great place where you can kind of slip voice and tone work into your existing processes without adding much to the scale of the project and without requiring any extra resources. So once you get some answers to these questions, you can start getting it down on paper and making lists. I'm a writer, so I love making lists. This is my favorite kind. I call it a this but not that list. A lot of people do it. It's basically a list of word oppositions. So you write down a bunch of words that describe your company's personality, and then you go through and just kind of qualify each one. So we say MailChimp is helpful but not overbearing. MailChimp is smart but not stodgy. Clever but not silly, which that one might be debatable. But this kind of list is so useful because that second word just really helps writers and people across organizations kind of zoom in on where your company falls on the personality map. This is especially great if you work with non-professional writers who are helping you contribute content, which I think at this point most of us do. So from there, you can mix and match. This is a design persona that our UX director, Aaron Walter, made for his team a long time ago.